Well, you can be seated. I hear by faith. I was praying the other day, like, well, Lord, should I try and go or not or what? Just see where I'm at. You know, until you test things, you don't even know where you're at with anything in life. So I don't know how long my voice will hold out. I want to express appreciation for everyone's prayer. My situation, I don't want to talk about myself too much here. Somewhat complex. And, you know, when something's more complex, I find it's best I don't say too much because, you know, people don't hear everything. And then I don't want some rumor going around like you're on your deathbed or something like that. But somewhat complex. But I was greatly humbled 2 weeks ago, and Brother Dale called in the friends. Just to stand with me. So that's very humbling. And there was a point of contact, release of faith. There's some areas I believe healing's taken place at more at the root of things. My bigger issue is I haven't really slept for a month. And I'm not exaggerating. Because of the medications. So it makes it hard to function. I didn't really feel like being here today, but I committed in my heart on Thursday that not feel him to come. So as long as, so my voice is weak relative to that. Yeah, if you don't sleep, there's a lot of things go on. That in itself is enough of a problem. But anyway, so that's one way you can be praying for me. But I believe in some other things, healings in process. But I want to go to John chapter 15. There's things stirring on my heart. Now, I haven't really, because of my voice being weak, my focus is being minimal. I haven't really talked to people much at all. And I mean, even like to get on the phone or anything like that, even, you know, for Donna, it can be hard because I'm not very talkative. And so anyway, whether you can talk or not, you do still think. And you can meditate. And it still comes down to a choice what you're going to meditate on. Whether you're going to meditate the Word of God. And if it's where you live, you will. And if it's not where you live, you'll meditate circumstantial things, fearful things, anxiety things, and all the rest. So anyway, I spent a lot of time meditating. I like to wait on the Lord. Well, can still do that. Yes. And I have been. And you know, pray. I can't pray very loud, very long, because it wears out my voice. So I'll go as long as my voice will hold up here. I have no idea how long that's going to be. But I want to share with you some things from John chapter 15. Shane, would you come and read verse 1 through 16? I'll save my voice a little bit if I'm not reading that. Yeah, 1 through 16.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
Amen. So it reminds me of being in Nigeria. Brother Emo always has somebody else read the text. I don't know why, but so do a little Nigerian style. But from the whole of this here, I want to just point out a few things. And there's a certain point in particular I want to make very strong. Our Heavenly Father created us to be fruitful. I share that as a visionary statement for the church. This is really what moves me. Be fruitful for the glory of God. Down at verse 8, he says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." The fruit is born only by the life of that which is within it. And he emphasized earlier in the earlier scriptures of this that without him we can do nothing. In our own ability, we're not going to. I mean, you might do good things, but that's not really going to bring the fruit of the Spirit of God in the lives of people. But it's the Spirit of God working through us. So when you know it's only him, what else can you do but give him the glory? It's very, very dangerous thing to do, and it's very much against the heart of God to touch the glory. We need to become disciplined. We always give all the glory or the credit to God for all of the fruitfulness. And that's why you're on this earth. You're not here just to enjoy this life. You're not here on this planet just to have some nice life or something like that. That's wrong thinking in people, or it's not scriptural thinking. But we're here to be fruitful in the place he puts us, with the people he puts us and assigns us to, doing the very thing he assigned us to. That's the whole of your life. And the measurement of your life is based on that. Jesus had fulfilled all that was for him to do in 33 years. You know, he couldn't say, "Well, I got some promise, I'll live 70 or 100 or whatever." That's a carnal thought process. I'm going to lay hold of something to try and hang on to this life more. It shouldn't be within us a primary motive to hang on to this life, but to hang on to his life, the eternal life of God, and to live for the glory of God. And when our time's up, just to let go and go and be with him and glory in heaven forever and ever. For there's nothing to compare to it. We'll sing about that, but how much do we believe that? There's really nothing to compare to be in his presence. That's your destiny. So we should always have joy moving forward because we're one day closer to the fulfillment of that destiny. Yet at the same time, we need to be very focused on each and every day for what God has for us today. The fruitfulness of the day. Now, sometimes that could be swallowed up in what we might think of like a work. Well, here's what I do. But there are so many things that are moment to moment by the Spirit where you speak life to somebody and they might receive Christ or be delivered out of anything on the negative side, that then thus Christ is glorified all the more. Then you have with it the disciples that you would make, your children, and so forth, where we're passing on the revelation of Christ and the fruitfulness continues. But God expects fruitfulness, and we cannot bring forth fruit beyond what we'll let him do in us. Therefore, in the parable here, he says he's going to prune us. We need to cooperate and let him trim away the flesh. And that's an ongoing process. You didn't have, like, well, God trimmed some away 30 years ago. I'm good. No, it's a continual. He wants more fruit. If greediness in any way can be associated with God, it would be he's greedy for more fruit. He's looking for more fruit. And man can say in his own mind, here's how much is enough for him. Lord, you should be satisfied with this much of my life. But God wants it all. And if we yield all, he can continue to produce more and more and more. So in the parable here, he brings this out that we've got to stay attached to him. Let him keep pruning us so that the things that would draw on the life of God, that would draw down that life, are removed. When we had purchased the home where we live now, it was bare ground, and I immediately went in dream mode, and I'm thinking of, okay, I planted some apple trees, some peach trees, and all kinds of stuff. I'm wanting to develop that half-acre property. And in the planting of apple trees in particular, and peach, I began to get the education how you have to prune them. And there are branches grow down and there are some grow up. They will not bear fruit. They can't hold a fruit. They're what they call in that field of work, suckers. They take the sap, the life of the tree, but they're unable to produce fruit. So that's what you prune off. So you want branches that go out, that are reaching outward, and then they can hold the fruit. So in our life, there are things that are not necessarily morally wrong. Whenever people want to justify hanging on to the flesh, they'll make a moral issue out of it. Well, why is that wrong? You know, there's a lot of things that aren't morally wrong, but the question, it's the wrong question. The question is it adding to or taking away from the fruitfulness of God in our life? Now, the Lord in his kindness doesn't like prune us down to nothing all. It'd blow our mind. We couldn't handle it. He just keeps doing a little bit at a time. And we see the fruitfulness of that little bit at a time, and it creates more of a willingness to let him prune more of us. But there are times there are things that are a part of our life that they're not necessarily morally wrong, but they're taking the time, the mental focus, the passion of the heart, and it minimizes any fruitfulness. And from God's perspective, he's not pleased with that. Now, as you go on in your life, that becomes more of an issue. When someone's a child, what children do is play. That's what children do. You don't have to teach a child to play. You teach them to work. Their flesh doesn't want to work. Their flesh wants play, entertainment, and so forth. So, you know, God in his kindness meets people where we are. And you can't take a young child and make them work like a man. But you gradually keep encouraging the development of the mindset that I live to work. And the joy of my life is the fruitfulness of my life. Jesus gave the command to love that your joy might be full. The very thing every one of us are looking for is in the giving of our life. There's no other way. And people try to create their own idea of what that's going to be to give their life. Well, I'll give this much. God, you get an hour a week. You get an hour a day or whatever. But to give our whole life in love where we're just, however we're finding ourselves circumstantially in life, we're giving ourselves. I've observed people over the years, and some, you know, tend to look at things in terms of a work, and men are worse with that than women. And those who just, you know, they find themselves in a certain simple position in life, and they just keep giving out of themselves in that place. And you'll find the most joyful people are those people. It's not the one who has everything according to some ideal. It's not the one who's accomplished great things. But the person who just lives that simple life. And they're just so content. Just, what can I do for you? What can I do today? So, Selah, that's just a perspective thing. For us, we have that which would be for our life. That which he would have for us to do. And some verses that are very important to me. Down here at verse, 16. You've not chosen me. I've chosen you. I've ordained you. I set you aside that you should go and bring forth fruit. Or God, in doing this in particular, specifically, has things in mind for you where you'll be assigned to a place, a people, a work. It could be very simple. It could be very complex. That's irrelevant. And that fruit should remain. The word remain is also translated abide, continue, remain, and there's another one. Continue, remain, abide. Dwell. Pardon? Dwell. Dwell, yes, thank you. Four different English words to bring the concept. It's a rather broad concept, but the continuation. And so, therefore, we're not just doing something. We're not building a sandcastle, and the next day it's gone. That's very frustrating for people to try to work at anything and it get wiped out. But rather, it continues. And because we're building by the power of the Word of God, that the Word of God in the heart of people, no matter what the setback or challenge might be, it abides forever. That word can cause fruit to grow up again where something was once there and maybe someone has walked away from that. So there's a continuation of fruit. And I love history and biographies, and over the years, you know, you read about missionaries going to a place and they may get killed. Or they build a church and it's burnt down. I know people. I mean, people I personally know. That's been their life experience. But the word that would end the people is forever. Satan can't take that out. And it will continue to produce in other people. That, and the word that here is the word hina in the Greek, which means in order that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. There is a place we can come into that faith is so simplified and made easy to us in our mind. And that is when your whole heart has been given over to the fruitfulness of God, to the will of God. You want his plan and purpose for your life. You want to see that fruitfulness that he would want to work through you more than anything else. Not just on the side. Oh, that'd be nice. More than anything else. It's what you live for. It's what you breathe for. Why you live. It's what will determine the length of days. I'm very adamant about this. Those of you that have sat under my ministry of the word for any period of time, if you had a Benjamin for every time, you hear me say that I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, and stand before the Lord. That's my destiny. That's what I live for. That's why I say it. I keep that before me. That's what we're here to finish what he has. And it's only by him working through it so we can finish whatever that is. Whenever that work's done, there's no really real reason to stay here except for love's sake. Philippians chapter 2, Paul speaks of that. He was at a place, he was ready to go, but love said to stay and help some people some more. It's not loving people because you love them so much that you love this life more than the Lord. But the challenge is, Lord, when's it time just to let go that I know I finished? There's nothing more here for me to do. Then it's time to go to sleep and wake up in heaven. That's really the way I want to go. Maybe God has another way. But if I was going to be able to pick my way, it's to be able to say, I finished like Paul did. Just wake up in heaven. Just be taken up. Well, when we live truly, when we come to this place of surrender, we've let the Lord prune off everything. There's a place we can step into where we understand I can believe God for whatever it takes to stand in that place. You see, it's not a struggle. Lord, there's things I know you want me to do. Therefore, I must be healed in the name of Jesus. That's my position. Now, I can look at scriptures and say, I studied the scriptures inside out, upside down. But I can look at the word, say, well, God's promised me this, that, and the other. And that's all good. I understand that. That's all good. That's not really what I'm working from. God showed me things to come yet, things to be done. One of the things that's grievous to me is when someone leaves before their time for whatever reason. And I've known some great men of God I say great in my mind, where it seemed to me they weren't finished yet. And maybe the people were exalting those men. And the Lord had to take them out because he's not sharing the glory. Maybe they came to a place, you never know what's in the heart of somebody else. Maybe the Lord challenged them to go to a greater consecration and they just said no. Every one of you are tempted with that thought somewhere along the line. The Lord will call you to a deeper place and you can say yes or say no, or maybe next week, maybe tomorrow. That's still a no. And many times that's the very reason why you don't see the continuation of the miracle in their life that they needed personally. But you know what? It's not really our business to know. It's not our business. Sometimes God makes it your business to help someone. Sometimes, don't ever assume that you have like a right to that. A lot of things just aren't our business. But I wonder about those things. Lord, did they finish? Did they finish out? You know, and speaking of that with consecration, I do not say that with a critical thought. You know, we have the challenge, will I continue to lay down my life to Jesus? Having beheld him in a greater way, seeing his love and loving him more to where I want to lay down my life more? Or am I going to say, here's the parameters, Lord. Bless me in these parameters. I want my life to be like this. But the greater joy is just to give it all to him. There are things that I know are to come. There's things the Lord showed me. There's things I know the Lord would have me to do. Brother Lester Sumrall said, your life's lived in three stages. First stage is the development, the training, the development, the learning process. The second stage is working out, doing those things. And the last stage is giving it all away. I always thought it was a rather profound thought that he had there. And we live our life in seasons and things change. You have to be willing to change with the seasons. I love doing what I'm doing. That being said, I know there are certain things to come. There are things relative to the end times I've spoken of. Actually, probably like 37 years. Sometimes people think it was a little nutty, but we've been watching them come to pass. We're deep in the end times, my friends. Don't think life can, you can just declare life's going to be lived like you used to, or like the good old days. Good old days are gone. The good old days are here now. Because every day lived in Jesus and the love of God is a day full of joy. That's the good old day. Don't try to hang on to the past. A lot of things. I mean, it's water over the dam and under the bridge. All you end up with is regret and sorrow and anger and such like. But find the will of God today. What's he saying to us today? And in these end times, pressure is mounting and increasing. I don't know whether to be sad or mad half the time when I see what people are doing to destroy our nation, and not just ours, but all over. But it's the spirit of Antichrist working. The Bible's laid it all out. We can see it all there. And I know God has a place for us, a victory in all of that. That we'll not be dominated by what's around us. But we learn to yield to the Spirit of God. And we're dominated by the Holy Ghost within us. And we make a difference everywhere we are. We need to release faith for a supernatural in that, not the way we've known things to be before. I have to tell a story with my wife. You've heard me mention how God uses her in the midst of our own personal challenge. Of course, you understand the caregivers. They need prayer as much as whoever's the afflicted. So she's been my caregiver. And the clothes dryer breaks down. So you have a few options. You can hang stuff outside. Or you can go to the laundromat. Or you can whip out a piece of plastic, run down to Home Depot. Well, anyway, At the moment, in the midst of everything, Donna takes the laundry up to the laundromat. There's one up the street from us because there's quite a few apartments nearby us. And she goes to the laundromat. And as is her custom, is friendly. We're commanded to walk in love. You know, even though you've got things going on, you can still be friendly. And she's being friendly to a lady who's there. And I'm going to sort of tell this without getting into detail. But it turns out, I was just talking about the lady's quilt she was putting in a dryer. The lady tells her life story, which is part of a grace that baffles me. Donna can meet someone for the first time. She's talked to him for 5 minutes. And they're telling the whole life story with the very deepest of their problems. I think that's a grace there, because I don't know if you all experience that every day. There's probably a week goes by, this shouldn't have this happen. And I'm not saying it's puff her up. I'm just saying it's a good example to me. And this lady had terrible things happen. So I was putting a little concise nutshell. Donna told her about Jesus. There's suffering all around us. There's people suffering. Someone living right up the street from us. And only Jesus can help them. It's up to us to be fruitful. Slow down. Walk in love. Be kind. Because you don't know. Someone will swing the door of their heart open. Desperate. you have what they need. So my prayer, Father, help me to be sensitive, to walk in love. Father, I stand in faith for all that it will require of me to fulfill what you've placed me on this earth to do. I will stand in faith for whatever it takes, health, money, but more importantly, people, revelation, knowledge. And Father, my prayer, my cry throughout the week, at nighttime as I sit there awake, wide awake all night, Lord, show me what's happening around us. Show me, Lord God, the things that need to be done. Show me, Lord, who I can trust, who will commit to your purposes. Lord, I yearn for the revelation gifts, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, so that, or in order that, your purposes can be fulfilled. Father, I pray now for the congregation here. You take the very words that I've spoken, the heart of their pastor. May they know where I'm at, Lord, and take that which you're working in me, work it in them. Lord, that we be a people that would truly yearn for your fruitfulness, for the glory of God. More than anything else. Prune us, Lord. Prune us. Take away the things that captivate our soul. Lord, that we can be full in spirit. And I thank you for a fresh anointing. A fresh anointing. A fresh anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for a fresh anointing today to come upon us.